Mike Farron, SiriusXM, MLB Network Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, now singing the Mike Farron Open, it's Mike Stibbs.
Just make sure it sounds sexy, Stibbs.
Lord Almighty, how can you stand Arizona? Your fair skin must be burning down into your absent soul. Mike, 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 we can barely hear you. It sounds to me like you called us from inside a hole. But your phone calls lift me higher, like the ERA of Mark Pryor. Your hair looks like it's on fire. You're Mike Farron. You're just a hunk of burning love. You're just a hunk of burning love.
Welcome to a new week of the Mike Farron Show, ladies and gentlemen. The world of Mike Farron here on Unsportsmanlike Conduct. Hello, friend.
Can I disagree with a statement from your last segment?
Please do.
This is an incredibly critical game for both Creighton and Nebraska for a midweek. I mean, I agree with your basic premise that the weekends are extremely important, but for Creighton to get into at-large range, they need a win against the top 25 RPI team. They kind of got screwed last weekend when Coastal got swept by Troy. There is a path for them to end up in the top 32, according to Boyd's World, but they have to win these midweeks. And for Nebraska,
right? Yeah.
If you're Nebraska and trying to get into hosting, like, these next two games are important because they have K-State on Wednesday too. So I just wanted to say, like, yeah, so the weekends probably matter more for them to be able to get into the Big East tournament, and they can still lose this game and end up in the top 45 for sure, and maybe the top 32, and have a decent at-large resume, because the RPI is going to matter. But boy, a win against Nebraska tonight would be pretty big.
No, yeah, maybe I overstated it just a little bit, but, you know, right now as it stands, and we kind of outlined this last week when we were talking about the same question, was the RPI thing is going to, and the RPI thing and the Big East thing for Creighton is going to take care of itself, in that there's no way they're going to be able to crawl into that range that you were talking about without winning these Big East games.
Well, and this becomes more important too, because the last four games of the year, you know, UNO's RPI is close to 300, and Seton Hall is in the 170 or near 170, right? Mm-hmm. So they're going to take a hit even if they win those games. So this next stretch where they have, you know, Nebraska, St. John's, UConn, these are maybe the most important seven-game stretch of the season. You know, for the Big East tournament, obviously, yeah, you want to be able to get in to have a chance at the automatic qualifier, but to have a chance to potentially be an at-large, like, the committee tends to reward those teams in the 30s in the Midwest and RPI.
While we're on this subject, Mike, Nebraska, I believe today starts 25th in the RPI, which is probably the lowest they've been since the very beginning of the season. What does history say about having any hopes of hosting? Obviously, you'd like to win the Big Ten just to have that pelt on the wall, but when it comes to maybe getting a chance to get one of those number one regional seeds, what would that take?
Yeah, I mean, I think again, like, I was looking at the needs report kind of while we were in break, because I was curious where it sat for Nebraska, and they can still get into the top 16, but they have to win all but one of their games, right? And they could win, I don't think it matters home or road. You're going to get more for the road wins anyway. It says 7 home, 6 road, but whatever it is, I mean, that's what they can do to get into the top 16, which would essentially clinch that for them. Now, being in the Big Ten and being the regular season conference champion, especially if they had some space between them and, you know, what it's Illinois and Purdue are tied for the lead right now, right? There is a chance that if they were in the 20 to 25 range, that they would get an opportunity to host. I mean, that's kind of what we're watching in the Big 12 and the Pac-12 as well, right? Like, Arizona has been at the top of the league the last couple of weeks and you know, stepped back this last week and losing a series at UW. But if they're in the 20s and they win the regular season in the Pac-12, they've got a chance to host. Same in the Big 12 with whoever comes out of it, if it's Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, although their RPIs are going to be in a little bit better shape, you know, closer to that top 16, which, again, they're 16 hosts. So I think it's possible, but Nebraska has to, you know, they have to win most of the remaining games. It's been a great season for them, though. And they I think right now, even though they're not in first place, like if you were to line it up with a group of pundits and say, okay, well, who are you taking as the best chance to, let's say, get to a regional final out of Nebraska, Illinois, and Purdue, I think Nebraska would be the clear favorite.
You talked with Matt Hogue last week. He's the athletic director at Coastal Carolina, who is also the committee chair. About the RPI, have you had any conversations? Has baseball had any conversations about either scrapping this and doing something different like the net is in basketball, or revamping the RPI and just making it better?
It's a great question because it really came into play last year where the committee was so RPI dependent and they realized that they didn't really feel like they had a better tool. So this year in the room, they're going to use KPI too, which for those of you in logistics is not key performance indicators. It's the Kevin Paga Index, who is a former assistant basketball coach at Michigan State, who's in their athletic department, who has it's similar to, I'm going to get nerdy here for a second, ELO rankings. Are you familiar with ELO rankings?
Yes, yes.
They're chess-based, right? And basically every game has a point total, and you get a certain number of points for each game that you play. And unlike the RPI where it's variable, so where like Creighton got a lot of benefit from beating Coastal when they were 12th in the RPI, but not as much now that they're 24th, like once you bank those points, it's there. So it's kind of a hybrid between RPI and an ELO ranking. They're able to use that this year. There is a pretty good contender, it looks like, in the Diamond Sports Rankings, which is done by the group at 643 Charts, which do a lot of data viz and advanced metrics for college baseball. And that's a more, I would say that's a more liberal read on the ELO rankings than what you have with KPI. And I do think that there is absolutely a stomach for fixing the RPI because it's, you know, one of the issues the RPI has is that it really overvalues road performance, whether it's wins or especially in non-con playing on the road. You get huge benefits for it. That's part of the reason why the Valley tends to have success. They play a lot of road games against everybody. They play a lot of our RPI, good RPI teams on the road. And whether they win or not, they tend to get credit for that. Now, I will say that the one outlier to that the last couple of years has been Indiana State, who hasn't just played those games, but they've won those games, right? Yes. And that's why they're a top 10 RPI team.
Mike Farron joining us, SiriusXM MLB Radio on the MLB side of things. It was a great night for pitching last night. Luis Severino had the Cubs no hit after seven. The Braves had the Mariners pinned down, no hits after seven. First time in the expansion era, that's 1961, those who don't speak baseball, that two teams were being no hit through seven and both won on the same day.
Really? I did not know that. That's incredible.
I wish I could credit. Someone did quote Elias. I don't remember who sent that tweet out. But, yeah, it is the first time in the expansion era that has happened. And first time I know it happened for the Cubs since 92. So I don't know what the Mariners mark is. But it was, you know, I got home last night, Mike. The game was already in the sixth inning. They'd only played an hour and 10 minutes.
I flipped it on, and I was like, wait a second, we're in the seventh already on that one? Yeah. Like, it was crazy. And Severino was great last night. Tyone was really good, too. You know, that was, I mean, it was nuts on both ends. You know, I really feel like the Mets should have won that game. I mean, Joey Wendell's decision to try and turn a double play on a slow roller to third ended up doing him in. They had the runner dead to rights at the plate. And, you know, I think they get out of that inning at 1-0 most likely, or, you know, at the very least you got a fighting chance because it's two outs and two on. In the other one, like that came out of nowhere, the Mitch Garver home run. I mean, Max Fried was really good again. He wasn't quite as efficient as he'd been in his last start where he threw a complete game shutout on fewer than 100 pitches. But Bryce Miller was great as well. And, I mean, that's the other part of this is that, you know, while those two teams were being no hit and they won, their starters were excellent last night. Tyone's been really good in his three starts since coming back from injury for the Cubs. And Miller has been Miller is a really exciting young arm with Seattle. So, and I think it's cool that like this is a definite, this is like should have been a bigger topic on the program, seeing as your favorite team won one of those games and the team that Josh got free tickets for won the other.
I bet Josh probably wasn't even aware there was a no-hitter going on. That would be my guess.
No, but his wife was.
Like, that's true.
He's actually a baseball fan. So.
He gets all his baseball smarts from her. Yes, he was very excited. He was more excited about the fact that he saw a walk-off home run last night. But
yeah,
it looked like a hell of a game.
He was more excited that he didn't have to pay for the tickets. That's what he was most excited about. Let's be honest.
Great point. We also had something else that happened last night that we haven't seen since 2006, and that is the Dodgers defeated the three true outcomes. They went strikeout-less on offense. They did not strike out on offense. It's hard for me to believe, and I know the strikeout is a big part of the game, but it's kind of hard for me to believe that this hasn't happened since 2006. Well,
it was the first time it had happened to the Dodgers in 18 years. It wasn't league-wide.
I thought it was league-wide. Okay.
No. And in fact, it was a former College World Series standout, Chris Mihalak, who started that game against the Dodgers, a former Notre Dame pitcher, started for the Reds. So, who's now, I think, the AAA pitching coach for Albuquerque in the Rockies system. Yeah, I mean, very bizarre thing, right? But the Dodgers don't go outside the strike zone very much. Diamondbacks were throwing, you know, their back end starter in Tommy Henry, another Omaha legend, right? The former Michigan standout. And Andrew Salfrank came behind him, which just means that there was too much Big Ten pitching last night. I mean, that's probably what did Diamondbacks. So, it was really quirky, really weird, but that Dodgers offense is ridiculous. Like, if you sneeze and miss the first inning, there's a good chance you're going to miss a massive rally because Mookie Betts has been the best offensive player in the league. Shohei Ohtani has been Shohei Ohtani. Freddie Freeman hasn't hit for any power yet, but we know that's coming.
Surprising, yeah.
And Will Smith and Teoscar Hernandez are legitimate power threats. Hernandez had a big two-run double. Smith just absolutely rakes lefties. The top half of that lineup is as difficult to navigate as anybody in the league. So they're a really fun team to watch. I'm excited. I'm going to go watch tomorrow night to go see Yamamoto Gallen. That should be a great pitching matchup. But they're really good, and that was really kind of a cool quirk last night.
By the way, Yamamoto Gallen is not the pitcher's name. That's the two.
Yeah, that's two separate guys.
Yeah, two separate guys.
Although just Yamamoto Gallen does sound like a pretty awesome pitcher.
Yamamoto Gallen sounds like, it sounds like a unit of measurement, actually, but that's another story altogether. I see the Twins have won 8 straight, and apparently we have an unwanted summer sausage to credit.
So is it unwanted? Like, the story on it is Kyle Farmer had done some work for, is it Cloverdale is the
Clovertail
company?
Clovertail, yeah. Tangy summer sausage. I have never heard sausage described as tangy before.
Not until Rocco Baldelli used the word tangy, but I have had Cloverdale sausage. It's quite good. And apparently he got like a gift basket as a thank you. And, he brought in the summer sausage, throwing it on the like free table that's in the middle of the clubhouse, hoping somebody would take it. And somebody that took it was one of the players in the middle of the game as they were struggling against the White Sox, grabbed it and brought it into the dugout. And in the next 16 hitters, they hit 5 homers. And so now the homer sausage has been poured. If you have an Athletic subscription, you have to read Dan Hayes's piece today on it, which is just great. He actually spoke to sausage experts because Rocco Baldelli, their manager, was very concerned that by just like tossing around this sausage and keeping it out in the open, that it's going to get that there's going to be mold and whatnot. Now, we as Midwesterners have a pretty good idea the difference between which sausage is mold and which ones are shelf stable. And clearly summer sausage is shelf stable.
Yes.
Something that somebody from the Northeast like Rocco wouldn't necessarily know. But Dan Hayes actually talked to sausage experts to confirm that so long as they're not leaving it out in the Arizona heat in August unprotected, that sausage should still be edible.
Well, A, how does a guy named Rocco Baldelli not know anything about sausage? Number two, what was the name? It's the gift boxes of summer sausages and cheeses you would get every Christmas, and they always set up in the malls. Do you remember who these people?
Something Farm. I mean, we used to get.
It's not Pepperidge Farm.
No,
but it was something else, and I can still see the label, but I can't remember the name. But they would always
set up. Twist Valley Farms, was that it?
Could be. I'll have to look it up. But yeah, I mean, those were everywhere, and people got them all the time, and they would just sit out forever and ever and ever, and they'll be
fine. And they're
still
good. Like I had a friend of mine, one of the Brewers broadcasters, sent me a, you know, we do this big broadcast dinner every spring here in Arizona and inviting everybody over the house for barbecue. And we have a bunch of people. And as a thank you this year, he sent me a giant case of Usinger's sausage.
Oh,
it just
yeah.
came last week. So it's like cheese and meat and all that. My wife dug into it the other day. It's delicious.
Hickory Farms.
Hickory Farms. That's it. Yep. That's the one.
Hickory Farms. Apparently, Rocco Baldelli has never seen a Hickory Farms at a mall before. I guess it makes some sense. Hey, by the way, speaking of the Central, don't look now, but do I see four teams in this division that have a winning record?
In which one? Aren't there four teams in the American League Central that have winning
records? That's what I said, the American League Central. I was talking about the Twins.
I mean, I
think
you're talking about the NL Central for a second.
Oh, no,
yeah,
no, no.
I mean, it's
no.
really strange. So, like, there's a couple things that are happening. Like, it feels a little bit like the Royals are coming back down to earth some. They have been scuffling a bit here as of late. Their starters have held up pretty well. The offense has come back to the pack. You know, they've been a below average offense over the course of the year. So it feels like they're starting to come down just a little bit. You know, the Tigers really, really pitch well. They have another questionable offense in that division, but their starters are excellent, and they've got a doubleheader against Cardinals today with Jack Flaherty going against his former team. I have a feeling there's going to be a little bit of motivation there based on the way things ended with him in St. Louis. So I think there's an interesting team there. I think the real surprise has been that Cleveland has been as good as they have been offensively. You know, they're really known for their pitching, and their starting pitching depth I think is questionable enough still that I wouldn't get overly excited about the good start, but the fact that the offense has been better than anticipated helps to mitigate some of that. Their bullpen is still very good. So, you know, in the end, it's probably going to be the Twins and the Guardians at the top. I think there's a chance that one of the Tigers or Royals sticks around there, but you know, it's at least been nice to see that division be competitive for the first month. And I hope that it continues for another four. You know, it's always better when you have competitive divisions, even if they are more middle of the packish. That's what the Centrals feel like. But if you've got four teams that are in the mix, I mean, you can't really ask as a fan for more than that.
Nick, you're new to baseball, but
yes,
aren't there five teams in the American League Central?
Man, you sound like one of the haters.
Nick, do we have something we can play here, please?
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go!
The guy who wrote that song is the same one that wrote the Jolly Green Giant.
You gotta be braving me.
No, I'm not, Hawk.
No, we're not. Update, 29 games in. Strangely, the White Sox have had their best week since we last updated this. They went 3-4. That's their best week of the season so far. But they still lost ground to the 62 Mets, who after 29 games was 10-19. So the White Sox are now four games back of the 62 Mets. Yes, we are aware that the Marlins are actually 6-24.
I think that's the thing that's most incredible is that as bad as this month has been for the White Sox, and it's been arguably the worst month in franchise history, which is incredible when you can consider that they go back to 1901, is that they haven't even been the worst team in Major League Baseball to this point, right? The Marlins being 6-24 is incredible. I mean, that's winning 20% of your games, like literally winning 20% of your games. So it's really tough to do that. That puts you on like a 33-win pace. Now, I think both teams will finish with more than 33 wins. I think both teams will pass the 1962 Mets. I think they're better teams than that. But, yeah, neither are very good. The White Sox defense is at least perked up. Tommy Pham's back in the lineup tonight. They're 3-0 when Tommy Pham plays. So all they really need is to get him in the lineup and things go well.
Speaking of things going well, Juan Soto with the New York Yankees. Numbers after 30 games, his current slash line is sitting at 316, 429, and 553. That is his best start since the COVID year when he was 368, 492, 764. For those watching in on the video stream, if you look at his previous 3 years, Soto's numbers far surpass what he's done the last 3 years. He seems to be hitting a lot more fly balls. He's hitting them harder. The ground ball rate is down. He is having a tremendous, tremendous season. What are you hearing around the league about why the rejuvenation in Juan Soto?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just in a really good spot. I mean, one, he's in a tough lineup, right? I mean, not that he wasn't before. I mean, there was a lot of star power around him in San Diego. You know, I think it's tough to say why guys get off to good or bad starts every year. But, you know, like he has hit for more power. I think right field at Yankee Stadium is a little bit more forgiving than other ballparks that maybe he has played in. Washington tends to play a little bit neutral. San Diego, remember when they built that ballpark, even though they brought in the fences some, it was bonds proofed, right? Like that was the whole thing. Is that Bonds had hit so many home runs against the Padres in his career that they had tried to make it deeper to right field. And so I think that probably impacted some of the power. But his swing decisions have been really good. You know, it helps. I think he's probably, you know, it's really difficult to quantify any of the kind of old school is he seeing pitches that are better to hit because he's hitting in front of Aaron Judge like he could be. But I just think he's off to a good start. And he's, you know, like last year's slash line is really stunning. He had a really rough first quarter of the season. And then you look up at the end of the year and he was the Padres' best offensive player overall. So, you know, he's, what, now in year six or year seven, I guess, in his big league career. I think it's just good timing as much as anything. And, you know, Soto's going to be a free agent after this season. He's going to be highly sought after. But, man, is he just an incredibly impactful hitter. I can't think of a worthwhile comparison for him, like, in our lifetimes. Like, he gets a lot of Ted Williams comps, which I know sounds like heavy praise, but when you start lining him up statistically – it makes sense. I'm not sure that I can find a guy over the last 40 or 45 years that really fits the mold. Because, you know, Bonds as a young hitter wasn't like Soto. He wasn't as selective. You know, it's kind of like
not Griffey.
Because he's not as like whippy, athletic. I don't think the power is quite as big. Like, this is going to sound like a weird one, but it's like Bobby Abreu with over the boards power. You know what I mean? Like it's different power, but it's that same kind of approach. And that's really, I mean, that's an incredible hitter.
Yeah. Soto's hitting 100 points better than he was at this time last year. The on base percentage is about 40% or 40 points better. The slug is up over 150 points from where it was.
And I think that's really impressive, too, because as a league right now, the slugging percentage has been really low. It has been a low offensive April. And so when you see a guy that has that kind of gap between where the league is and where he is, it really gets your attention.
For fear of getting your infamous line, what do the standings at the end of April project about the 2024 season?
Absolutely nothing.
Too early to tell?
It's too early to tell. I would go so far as to say it's too early to tell. Okay. I mean, I don't think it's like, if you want to read into some things, it's like, okay, the Mariners are leading the West. They're barely over 500. And as bad as the Astros start has been, they're only six games back in the loss column, right? So like, those are the things that you can read out of it, is that in very few situations, namely the White Sox, the Marlins, the Rockies, are teams actually out of it. Now, not all of those teams that are still in the mix are going to be contenders in the end, but I don't think that you can draw any real conclusions from, you know, where the order is right now as to what it'll look like at the end of the season. In fact, I was going to do this for my show tomorrow. Just look at the standings on May 1st a year ago. I have a feeling you're going to see some pretty significant differences between, you know, where teams finished and where they were there. In fact, I will pull that up right now if you give me it. Nick looks like he wants to ask something. Hi, Nick.
Yes, it's time for the Nick Grimm question of the day.
First of all, how dare you say the Rockies are already out of it? Their fight back starts now. It's going to happen. They're going to come back.
Yeah, man, that's great.
Yeah, remember, it's also legal in Colorado, too. So,
So Farron, a week ago...
That helps you deal with the pain.
Cody Bellinger hit the IV at Wrigley, and he fractured his ribs.
Oh, come on. You're not supposed to be talking about bad things.
And he's, you know, ramping back up and he's back to it. But I'm ripping this question from Meg Rowley and Ben Lindbergh from the Effectively Wild podcast.
Yeah. Great podcast. I just had dinner with Meg the other night.
Oh, really? I love that podcast. Yeah. I listen to it a lot.
You're such a nerd, Nick.
I am.
It's a great podcast, John. It's really good. You'd like it.
I'm sure it is.
So
sure
this conversation that Ben and Meg had talked about, could Wrigley be forced to take the ivy out of the ballpark
for
safety concerns? Do you think that that's a thing that could end up happening?
I mean, some point, I suppose. Anything's possible, but I don't think that's a likely scenario at this point. I think I believe the ivy is actually protected on the National Historic Registry. There are portions of Wrigley Field that are, and I believe the ivy is one of it. It's like the marquee, the ivy, the bleachers. Like they had to, when they renovated the bleachers. Yeah, scoreboard. 17 or 18 years ago, they renovated the bleachers. I think it was 18 because I was still in Chicago.
Yep.
They had to go through all sorts of hurdles with both the city and the state. And the National Historic Registry just to be able to renovate them because they needed to keep certain elements the same. So, yeah, I think it's highly unlikely. It's a fun question, but it's highly unlikely.
That's not a fun question. It's a dumb question. And no, you know there's brick behind there, people. Don't dive into the brick. That's all I can say.
He was trying to catch the ball, John.
I know
he was.
Doing
his job.
I know.
In case you were curious, a year ago, on May 1st, the best team in baseball was the Tampa Bay Rays. They were 23-6. The best team in the National League was the Pittsburgh Pirates. the NL wild card teams were the Brewers, Diamondbacks, Marlins, and Mets. They're actually kind of close, right? Cubs were just outside it. Padres were actually over 500. American League, the Red Sox were 16-14. The Angels had a winning record, right? So, I don't know. Maybe it ends up being. I mean, the Rays, Rangers, Twins, Orioles, Blue Jays, Astros were the six teams that were in a playoff position at this point a year ago. All six of those teams made the playoffs in the American League, in the National League. I guess what five of the seven teams that were tied for the six spots made it. So maybe I'm overstating how little you can draw as a conclusion from right now. But I just really think it's.
Well,
you know, every year is unique. You know?
If you really wanted to, you could maybe do the study back 10 years and see what the percentage is. You know what I mean?
That's a lot of show prep, man.
You can't just dump that on Farron. I'm sorry.
I do that kind of prep all the time.
How do you feel about the new Skate Rays City Connect logo, by the way?
Oh, I kind of like them. I had talked to somebody at the Rays who was like, this is going to be a disaster. It's going to be skating themed. We're in big trouble. And then I saw them, and I was like, these are actually pretty cool. Like, the skateboarding Ray is
neat.
That's
amazing. I bought that shirt.
Did you?
Yes.
I like the logo on the hat is cool. Like, in terms of, like, the little logo, like, and I didn't mind the jersey itself. I mean, I think they're using too many, like, charcoal and dark grays and stuff like
Well,
that
and you can't read the damn numbers. That's another problem.
Well, but that's, you can't read the names on jerseys this year anyway, so it doesn't matter. That's for performance, John. It's not for people to be able to know who's playing.
Oh, that's right. It makes them better.
But they're right up there with Milwaukee's in terms of like the little Easter eggs that are there. Like Milwaukee's got that grill, like it's a grill that's a baseball on their City Connect uniforms. That's just incredible. There's that same kind of care with the stuff for the Rays. So I really kind of dug it.
The Mets wore theirs last night, and the bridge thing on the hat was ugly. They needed to get rid of that.
I'm not a fan of the Mets one. I think it's pretty boring. Like, everybody's like, oh, look, there's a little hint of purple. Like, if you don't look closely, you'll miss the purple. Like, and they chose the purple because it's the color of the subway line, right? Like, it's the 7th line train is purple. I think it was a miss. Like, it's just pretty boring. Like, we had two teams wearing grays last night.
They just leaned into the concrete theme.
Kind of.
There's so many other things in New York.
Well, the other problem is it's closer to Yankee colors than anything else. So
you
could have been confused that maybe it was a Yankee team
including the pinstripes. I mean, there's a lot of the City Connects that don't jive for me, but I'm an old, so that's why I'm not the target audience either.
Yeah. Mike Farron, ladies and gentlemen, SiriusXM MLB Network Radio. Mike, we appreciate it. Thank you much.
Thanks, Mike.
Next week, I can't promise you a Josh-free baseball experience.
I know you can't. And you've already made my day today. Just enjoy the game. It should be a good game tonight, Creighton, Nebraska. That'll be a fun one.
Fingers crossed we get it in. It's a little cloudy.
Yeah, is everybody doing okay? I mean, I know it texted you to check in when I saw the Twister go through Lincoln, but I just want to make sure everybody's all right.
They have video here. It has not been posted yet. The funnel cloud, the tornado that hit Epley Airfield, it hit one of the – that funnel cloud passed right past this ballpark.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And we have video. They have video down in the media room down from where I'm sitting, and you can see the rotating funnel cloud pass between here and the arena as it's headed off towards the airport, and then it touched down right at the airport.
Man, that was a big one.
Yeah, so. It was bad. But fortunately, everyone's okay. No fatalities.
Good.
Very few injuries. So
very good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. All right, Mike. We'll see you.
All right. Take care.
Bye, Mike.
Mike Farron of SiriusXM MLB Network Radio. We will be back. Michael Brunt still to come and more on 1620 The Zone.